You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 4 November. Optasia lists on the JSE later this morning. Share code OPA. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Pietie Radenhuis, Hirenya Capital Advisors. I want to ask him around gold. It seems to be holding around 4,000. Does he expect it weaker? What levels should we look for? Maybe we should be buying it. Then we're chatting with Redefine on their results. Loan to value, edging lower. Interest rates also moving lower. The balance sheet looking fairly good and massive discount to NAV. And then Solo Sekela from Absa CIB. October purchases managing index back into contraction after we were briefly above 50 in September. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headline, MoneyWeb: how Trump's tariffs are rattling through the SA economy. Almost all imports from South Africa to the US have ceased, said Santove yesterday in an investor's presentation. Business Day: SA retailers expand but face market saturation. Absa report points to highly uneven geographic distribution of outlets. Morning markets. The US was green. S&P up 0.25%. NASDAQ 0.5% higher. The East is mixed. Sydney's just over 0.5% down. Tokyo's a couple of points into the red, 0.1%. Hong Kong, 0.33% higher. Tencent, a little over 1% higher. Commodities, mostly red. Gold futures, $4,001 an ounce. Brent, $64.70. Platinum, $1,570. And palladium's the green, couple of dollars up, 1,463. Rand, 17.31. Bitcoin, 106,900. And top 40 opening call, green open expected, 295 points, or almost 0.3% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pietie Radenhuis, Hirenya Capital Advisors. Pietie, gold, we know the story. It's had a phenomenal year. It's had a phenomenal run. It did nine green weeks in a row, and then it promptly reversed. It was down some 8% or so, which was, I suppose, a little bit spooky, to be clear. But I want to ask you, where next? I look at the chart. I struggle with charts like this when we're in sort of the rarefied air of just off all-time highs. How are you looking at gold? Lower, higher, consolidating?
Good morning. And you're right. It is tough to say, you know, where to next, because, I mean, to be fair, 10% is a big move, but in context, it's doubled, right? So
yeah,
it's doubled in a year, in less than a year. So it's not that much of a move, actually, contextually. So it's tough to say. Well, you know, the bus is full; it's not going any higher. I think there's a couple of things that are going to drive it. Well, firstly, technical analysis is very helpful. So we'll talk about that in a second. I do have some technical indicators that it actually says that it's a buy. So spoiler, that's where I'm working my way towards. I think there's a couple of things that are fundamentally a backwind still. We're seeing increased signs of economic distress in the U.S. We're seeing massive repos taking place. So this is essentially central bank or the Fed injecting money into the U.S. banking system. I think last week was $29 billion in a single day. So bigger and bigger repos are starting to take place. I think that we're probably heading into like a quantitative easing type situation by the looks of things. So, you know, this is probably all good for equity markets as you keep, you know, printing money to inflate asset prices. But at the same time, I think markets are becoming somewhat weary. And I think part of that weariness is why we've seen gold run the way we have. We've also seen the dollar weaken tremendously, which is another reason why we've seen gold run the way we have. So if we continue to see moves to weaken the dollar by essentially policy and coming out of the U.S., we probably continue to see stronger gold prices, right? Mm-hmm. So then moving away to the chart, we've got a couple of things. So, I mean, Dow theory states higher highs, higher lows equals uptrend, right? Yeah. So we've basically now made our first real pullback since, what, mid-September. the market sort of broke out, or gold broke out above. The resistance level hasn't looked back until essentially now that it's made its first correction, right? Mm-hmm. So in a bullish trend, this is normal. We'd be looking for a sign of a momentum change to be able to go long and essentially just follow the trend. It's not rocket science, just follow the squiggly line higher, right? So essentially what I'm looking at is, if you look at, you know, we're just going to keep it super simple, but look at a stochastic oscillator. That's punched, it floated around the top above 80 for a long time. It's punched all the way down through 20. Now it seems to be putting in a bottom. So what we look for is essentially three things on the stochastic oscillator. There's the oscillator itself. Mm-hmm. There's a small moving average on it. So when those two cross over, that's a first buy signal. Then a upward movement up through 20, that's the second buy signal. And then a movement through 50 would be the third or confirmation signal then that we have a momentum-based bounce, right? However, we have not seen the third signal yet. We've managed it, obviously,
okay,
moving up to crossover and the cross through 20. So we've got two of three green lights for that. And then if we basically just put a little trend line at the top of the gold price on, what's the date yet? Tuesday, the 21st of October, using that as the high. We put a little trend line down there that connects with the highs on the 31st of October. And we have essentially what's called a trigger line. So if we see a daily closing price above that trigger line, then we have essentially a fourth sort of green light, or a third green light in this case. So three out of four green lights to go long. And then I'd be quite happy to enter a long trade off the back of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I take your point, Dan. I mean, the sell off was spooky, but it went up 9 weeks in a row. But nothing goes up forever. We have to have some pullbacks, even in that larger trend. That's how markets work. We'll leave it there. Pickler Reinhurst, Herenia Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning, and that's our poll today. LinkedIn and Twitter. Gold. Time to buy. Petri's got three green lights out of four. That's a lot of green lights for me. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Leon Koch, Redefined COO. We had results for year-end August. Revenue up 3.3%, HEPS 11.1% higher, dividend up 7.8%, and net asset value up 3.6%. Leon, I want to touch on some big picture first. What we see, loan-to-value down 1.7%, down to 40.6%. Been edging lower for a while. What is your sort of ideal comfort space for LTV on the balance sheet?
As we indicated before, our kind of medium-term range is between 38 to 41%. So at the level that we've achieved this time around at 40.6%, it's well within that range. Mm-hmm. And we would look to maintain it at that level. I suppose the market would prefer a sub-40, but we believe at this level it is optimal for Redefined.
And you've also, your average weighted cost of debt, and there's moving parts because, of course, some of it is Europe, some of it is South Africa, but that's coming down as well. And that, I imagine, is just a good old-fashioned function of lowering interest rates both here and in the Eurozone.
Simon, I think you're absolutely right. It is certainly a function of interest rates coming down, but similarly, there's a lot of liquidity in the market. So what we've seen, particularly in the South African market, where in the DCM, where we're quite active, we've seen a lot of liquidity and, as a consequence, pricing pressure. So from an issuer's point of view, we've really benefited from that environment. We managed to get that reduction in our margin overall.
Your portfolio repositioning, one thing I've learned over the years of chatting with REITs over the many years, it's not a static process. You're constantly exiting properties, adding properties. To your point particularly, number of properties has decreased, value per square meter has increased. That really is the sweet lever that you can pull with some of your older assets and bringing new ones on.
Absolutely right. And it's also, you know, a function of selling those smaller type assets. So you see, you're quite right. If you look at our value per square meter, we've managed to increase that nicely. So that's the reason behind that is twofold. Firstly, the underlying asset values themselves are growing, given the growth in income. And then secondly, as you rightly mentioned, we managed to successfully recycle out of the lesser quality assets, which just naturally then improves that rate per square meter as your portfolio turns. And from an active asset management point of view, that's a key focus for us, to continuously look at your portfolio, making sure that those properties that, from our perspective, is at the end of the investment life cycle, that we manage to dispose of that and redeploy that capital into assets that we believe is well located and sought after.
SA overall occupancy is 93.5. Most of that is sitting in the vacancies, sitting in office. Office still tough, but you are seeing improved rental reversion. Still negative, but moving in that right direction. I mean, are we bold enough to say green shoots? Has it sort of turned positive yet?
Simon, absolutely. I think the term green shoots is quite widely used, particularly at Redefine, that we have seen certain nodes performing exceptionally well. If you look at the Western Cape, for instance, it has been a good news story over the last 3 years, where at the start of COVID, our Western Cape portfolio had, you know, higher vacancy than what we had here in Gauteng. And over the last 3 years, where we've seen, you know, consistent service delivery from a governance point of view, obviously the area is sought after, and we've seen that confidence play through in the leasing market as well. So the Western Cape nationally has got the lowest vacancy now compared to the Gauteng, for instance. But similarly in Gauteng, some of the nodes are performing better than others. And what we've seen is that there's definitely a flight to quality. So currently it's still definitely a tenant's market, but the tenants have choice. And we've seen that demand, particularly in the premium grade office space, really growing nicely. In order for South Africa as a country to really make inroads on the national supply of office space, we're going to need sustained GDP growth, and we're going to need to make inroads into that unemployment number. Because there's not net new jobs. There's not going to be net new demand for office space.
That's actually a great point. It's that net new demand, and we need GDP growth 2-3, even a higher percentage is going to work that. The retail doing well. I mean, retail, you've got occupancies at 94.1 and looking quite solid.
Very much so. We were very pleased with our retail performance. And even if you look at some of the national retailers, their results of late, we've seen very strong and consistent growth there, which is a bit counterintuitive because we're not suggesting that the consumer is not under pressure. The pressure does persist. And the high inflation numbers and the sort of fuel prices and such like over the last while did taper that. So we saw particular growth on the value side of things, value fashion, value grocer, and that kind of stuff. But our retail performance has been very good and very solid. And that's why for next year, we similarly feel quite confident in that the lower interest rate environment and better consumer confidence will play into that space.
Have you been losing any pick and pay stores? Do you anticipate losing any as they sort of reposition that portfolio under Sean Summers?
Not necessarily losing them. I think the pick and pay conversation, one must acknowledge that I think some of these stores, these very old stores, that have been in the making for a long time. You know, they've got great locations, great assets. And when they talk about space reduction, it's not necessarily just closing stores or reducing the trading floors. You know, these stores were designed, you know, many years ago when you still had large deliveries at store level. Now with the improvement, particularly from the grocers, where they've got centralized distribution and such like, a store in a mall needs a far lower area because it doesn't keep that stock and it gets daily deliveries. So it's more in that case than where we've worked very closely with the likes of Pick and Pay, where we were able to reduce some of their sort of back of house non-utilized space. We've done that. But currently, we're in a very good position with Pick and Pay. And in our view, they are focusing on the right thing, which is the shopper and the experience in store.
Yeah, and I take your point. It's more about reconfiguring, particularly now with central distribution. Poland, which is mostly retail and about a third of the portfolio, your occupancy there at 99.4%. I'm imagining that's probably about as high as it gets because there's you're going to have a turnover of tenants. That's just a sort of business 101.
100%. So if you're at the 99%, you're virtually fully let because there's always going to be an element of churn, particularly in sort of your line shops and such like. And that market has done exceptionally well. It is a very much a consumer-driven economy.
Yeah.
And the Polish economy is exceptionally strong and we're very happy being there. And I think that high occupancy is also testament in terms of the location of our shopping malls there and kind of just how we've managed to tenant those malls.
And you make a point in the presentation that across Europe, Poland is forecast to be one of the strongest retail growth areas. It's not just an economy doing well, it's not just an economy with a good GDP, but that is translating into strong retail growth, which will directly benefit Redefine in Poland.
Quite right. And this is not just a once-off performance. I mean, Poland's consistently over the last 10 years managed to sort of deliver that kind of consistent GDP growth. And that's exactly the reason why we are there, is that they offer that kind of growth levels on a consistent basis, irrespective of what's happening on the politics, you know, where they've had changing of the guard over the last two elections now.
Yeah.
It certainly seems like they are focusing on the right things.
We'll leave it there. It's Leon Kok, Redefine COO. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Clearly now we're with Sela Sekele, Absa CIB. Sela, appreciate the time. The Absa Purchases Managers Index out yesterday. This is October data. Down 1.6 points below the 50 at 49.2. We chatted a month ago when September came out and we were, you know, just above the 50. And truthfully, I was hoping this could be start of a trend. But the short version is for some time now, our PMI has sort of been flirting with that 50. It goes across occasionally, but generally we're not seeing a steady increase in PMI to give indication to a strong and growing manufacturing sector in our economy.
Good morning to you, Simon, and your listeners. So that's true. So we were hoping that we will see at least a start of a trend of the PMI remaining above 50 from September, but unfortunately, manufacturers in October are saying that, look, business conditions are a bit tough in the month of October. And when you look at why they are saying this, it's mainly because of two things. One, output declined, and two, demand was weak. And the demand story is quite interesting as well. So on the demand side, we see demand being weak on the domestic market as well as on the external market.
And the domestic market, and you make the point in the note, quieter than usual for this time of the year. The export market, I imagine a fair chunk of that must be the U.S. trade tariffs. They are starting to show up in the data as having implications.
Yeah, so what's interesting, especially on the international market that manufacturers noted, is that tariffs are playing a part, but they're also seeing some logistical bottlenecks weighing on new sales orders.
Okay, it's logistics as well, and we are. I mean, the evidence is that we things are picking up at Transnet, but it's a long story, and it's going to take a lot of time. The employment index down by another 2.2 points in October. This part of this sub index, as I suppose we call it, it's been in below 50 since April 2024, which we can see that in the unemployment data from Stats SA. But this really is one of the significant challenges for our economy, and the sector is picking up jobs, and we haven't been at all in this space.
Yeah, so firstly, I want to say that it increased, not decreased.
Sorry, my bad, yes.
Yeah, by 2.2, but the point that you made is correct. It remained below the 50 neutral point, and it's been here, since April of 2024. So what this says to us, Simon, is that, you are likely to see jobs being added in a significant way until business conditions in the manufacturing sector, improve, and GDP growth in general also becomes a bit stronger.
Yeah, that GDP growth, everyone I chat to these days. Expected business conditions in 6 months' time, and I appreciate it's hard to know what's going to be happening in a couple of weeks, never mind 6 months. But again, that took a fair bit of a fall, and it does say that this remains. I mean, the whole PMI data suggests this. This is not a sense of a strong and positive sector. There are concerns. This is tough and is likely to remain tough.
Yeah, so look, what I can say is that this index is not seasonal adjusted. So there is also seasonality here. But what I want to say is that, yes, things are not looking as good right now. I mean, when you look at comments, some manufacturers still cite the operations at AMSA as being an issue. But what I want to say here is that, in the long run, what will drive business confidence of any sector, it will be the progress of structural reforms.
Yeah.
So when you look at the second quarter progress report of Operation Vulindlela released last week, I mean, when you look at that, we see green shoots, right? Yes. Still have a long way to go, but the guys are really pushing. So at some point, this focus on reforms should boost business conditions for most sectors.
Yeah, I take that point. Absolutely. We start getting those reforms, and I agree, we are seeing them come through, and that then leads to GDP growth, and then everything starts to unlock. Sela Sekela, EPSA CIB, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. We were talking Aspen. They received 25 million euros. We asked you, if that's from the cancelled contract, if Aspen was on your investment watch list. Almost half said not for you. A third said already holding. The rest said watching and waiting. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb websites and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. MTBPS expectations.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.